If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy Dale Lippin in here with Trey Van Buskirk. Trey Van Buskirk, how are you?
Right off the rip, dude, do you think Frozen or Moana had a better soundtrack? Tough one, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to go with... I think Frozen has more staying power. Oh, gosh, I don't even know. I got to hold on a second here. I think... All right, so,
let's get into this.
Do You Want to Build a Snowman is is just fantastic. And then you have Let It Go, right? Obviously. Right.
Yeah.
But How Far I'll Go and You're Welcome. Oh, man. Oh,
bangers, dude.
Man, honestly, I could go on and on. I can explain every natural phenomenon. The thing is with that, though, is I hate Lin-Manuel Miranda and he wrote all that. So it's hard for me, but I don't know. What's your opinion?
I'd have to go. I mean, the good thing is we saw the versatility in acting with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'm just going to call him Dwayne Johnson. And I think the vocals on that guy, just fantastic, dude. Just top notch.
You act like he's actually singing. His voice is there, but they can make anybody sound good.
No, that's not true.
What are you talking about? Katy Perry has sold 100 million records and she sounds like somebody is killing a dog with a blunt hammer. She's awful.
She's on The Voice. You can't critique singers and have an awful voice.
What are you talking about? Yes, you can.
Oh, it's actually American Idol. My bad.
Luke Bryan is on that and he can't sing for shit either.
You shut up right now.
I love Luke
you
Bryan.
You go back to Europe.
Listen, I love Luke Bryan. He's as American as apple pie, but he can't sing at all.
That's ridiculous.
He can't. Not to mention the fact he looks like he has four extra chromosomes. Have you seen that guy?
What does that even mean? What were we all scientists?
That means his chin melts into his neck. It means his whole body looks like a melted candle.
Okay.
He's just gross. He's gross.
All right. Voice of an angel, though.
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, maybe because there are fallen angels in hell. So possibly, yeah, maybe so. Voice of an angel. Yeah. Go with
you
that.
You know who else is an angel?
Who's that?
The new strawweight champ of the world.
Oh, Carlos Barza. Yeah, let's talk about your girl for a second. How does... Okay, first of all, I know it feels good that Carla won, right? I know you're excited Carla won. But deep down in your heart, you cannot be happy about that fight at all.
Well, I scored it for Carla and she won.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
But did you score it for Carla?
Honestly, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I was watching the Canelo fight.
Okay. But then you did watch it though.
No, I literally had the Canelo fight up. After the second round, I was like, I would just as soon watch a snuff video than finish this. Like,
you did say that last episode. You did.
Yeah, I would rather watch Human Centipede 1, 2, and 3 in successive order than watch that fight again. It was awful.
I wish the bodies were as close as the Human Centipede. They were not, though. They stayed at distance.
Yeah, little mouth.
Some would argue they were a centipede apart.
No, well, they were more than a centipede. They were like a centi-yard. I mean,
centi-yard.
Dude, they made Michelle Waterson look like she fights in the pocket. Like, that's how... That's how far apart they were. My gosh, buddy.
Yeah, I know. It was brutal.
But celebrate your girl.
I'm going to. Rightly so. And she didn't get damaged before her wedding, which is just a good story all around. You know what I mean?
Get beat up on the wedding night instead. You know what I mean? Hey.
Ayo. Bang, 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 bang.
Bang. Producer Jake cheers in the background to that one.
Hey.
Hey, the wheels are coming off. And Loopy won. Loopy and Carla. Come on, bro. Come on.
I know.
Two Mexican princesses the weekend after Cinco de Mayo. You knew that was bound to happen. Come on. Come on.
I had a buddy that hit me up right before the fights, and he had this nervous energy. He goes, dude, this just sounds super weird and weak, but like I have this like cringe up the back of my neck that Tony Ferguson is going to have a life altering moment.
Oh,
and then the moment that it happened, I texted him and he's like, bro, I feel sick. I'm looking at myself in the mirror. I don't even know. Was it a premonition? Should I have called him?
Yeah.
That was it, dude.
Yeah. That was bad. It was bad. It was one of those things that it happened so fast in the moment. I wasn't sure what happened. Right. So those of you who didn't pay attention, didn't see the fight or live under a rock, Michael Chandler snuffed Tony Ferguson out from existence with a front kick. While Tony was circling to the weak side, Chandler came like cross body with a front kick and hit him in the face and just very ugly, very violent KO. Yeah. Not the level of violence that you normally see. Like there, I mean, obviously it's mixed martial arts. There's violence for sure, but there's a sense of control to it. There's a sense of like just hitting the reset button on someone whenever there's a knockout or a TKO and they get back up and it's like a thing, you know, okay. Oh, or, and Tony did ultimately get up and leave under his own volition and everything else. But the way Michael Chandler kicked Tony, the way Tony fell, and then the way he just laid on the mat and then they didn't show him for a long period of time, there was like a sense of foreboding, like, oh, something really, really bad just happened.
Yeah.
It was a level of violence in a sport of violence that felt very rare.
When I saw it, I literally went into my new company's back-end system, and I was ready to report bereavement. I was excited because I've always wanted to use that as vacation because I don't want to deplete my PTO. I'd rather use bereavement, and that seemed like a plausible cause because he was a dead guy.
Yeah. So a good way to plug that you got a new job, and then so congrats on that.
Thank you.
Two, I don't ever want you to have to use bereavement. It's terrible. It's terrible. So, but Uncle Tony, I'm sure, would probably approve.
He would probably.
That being said, I will steal it because I saw it on a meme somewhere. If something ever happens to me, and I'm not talking about like an Elon Musk tweet, if something were to ever happen to me, I want you guys to claim me and take a day from work. Just take a day. Say, hey, my buddy, my uncle, my cousin. It's on me. One vacay day on your boy, right?
I thought you were gonna see. I saw this meme or whatever. Where it was like the guy goes, hey, if I die, baby, I want you to cremate me and put me into that chili so that when you eat me,
I can tear that ass up one more time.
I was like, that's fantastic.
We could do, you can do that too. You can do that too. I would love to, I don't want to be cremated, but if I did want to be cremated, I think it'd be cool. Like if we could sell little vials of my ashes on allegianceclothing.com using promo code. Promo code punch, you save 15% off the entire thing. And then like in unison after, depending on when this happens, whether it's 50 years from now, Lord willing, or 5 days from now for the next Cub Swanson fight, like everybody in unison, just pull like an Amber Heard and just blow me up. Just give me a little booger sugar in there. I think it'd be cool.
I was thinking of more using you as like a salt and pepper on my steak. Cause if I just go to steakclassymeats.com, type in the code FIST, I'm going to get 10% off and I get to put a little bit of Dale Lippin sugar on my fucking steak.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be super salty. It'll be super salt. The saltiest shit you ever put on there. You'd be like, golly, damn.
Strong.
Salty, bro. Whew. Oh. A little bit of salt. This feels like it's off a little bit. Golly. All right. So, Charles Oliveira, Justin Gaethje. We got to address it real quick. Charlie Olives is good.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's pretty fucking good.
He's okay now.
I don't understand this version of Charlie Olives because featherweight Charlie Olives sucked. Yeah. Like I understand, oh Dale, he's 19 finishes in the UFC. Like he's on his way to the record. I get it. I get it. Oh, Dale, he's on a 10-fight win streak, you know, spanning the last 3 years. I get it.
Right.
I understand. But this was a guy that was like in the doldrums of the featherweight division for years with weight misses and failed attempts to move to 155 and everything. And then all of a sudden, it's just like everything freaking clicked, man. And he's really good.
So good.
Like he's good. And I'm just gonna go and throw this out there now. I love Gaethje for the king of violence that he is, but if somebody refuses to fight his fight, he is really does not have a plan B.
I mean, what are you gonna do? I'm surprised you're not addressing the Trevor Whitman situation here.
What am I gonna do? What am I gonna say about Trevor Whitman that everybody else has not said already? Like that. There's the Rose thing where he's coaching her essentially like she was up four rounds, telling her to go out there and have fun in the fifth, pretty much devoid of self-awareness. Everybody's already said that already. I'm not going to add anything to that. And I believe Trevor Whitman to be a good coach, but like all coaches and all players and all athletes, there are some times where you're on and sometimes when you're off. I believe that Whitman and company just had an off night, and domino effect is very real. Seeing Carla win and beat Rose right before Justin walks out, Gaethje's throwing left hooks from his ankles. I mean, there was two occasions where he swung so hard and missed so badly he knocked himself off balance.
Yeah,
Come on. I understand you want to knock him out, but come on. Like,
all right. Well, if you're not going to criticize Trevor Whitman, I want to get you all agitated. What about Pat Barry? Let's talk about Pat Barry.
I am agitated. I live in a state of agitation. What did I text you before we were like ready to record tonight?
Something about your gaping butthole. I didn't read it all the way through, but it seemed weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had just a shite work day. So the beers have started flowing early, and I said I should be in good form by the time the show runs around. And truth be told, I've got one and a backup ready to go. I mean, we're after it today. We're after
just,
it.
Just so the listeners don't think I'm weird, though, you did talk about a gaping butthole.
I believe I said that you asked me why my day was so bad, and I said I feel like I just got my butthole gaped. And
okay, good.
By work today. Yeah,
it was. I just don't want to think I envisioned that because.
Oh, you weird. Did. You did because. Yeah, I mean that's
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know you did. Okay. Do you want to talk about fights this weekend, or do you just want to keep talking about our bees?
Let's do it. Light heavyweight, dude. I love it.
Can we get rid of light heavyweight main events, please?
Why?
Unless it's a title fight, I don't want to see a light heavyweight main event, because I'm going to be honest with you. The light heavyweight division is pretty boring.
That's awful to say.
It is. It's boring. It's boring.
What?
The light heavyweight division is boring. Outside of title fights, it's boring. What, you going to have Anthony Smith fight somebody else a fucking again? You going to have Volkan Oezdemir just sweat on top of people with his hair plugs? We got
bro, you know, Reyes. Rocket. You got
Ray, Rocket. Dude, you Reyes got Mahovitz, is still asleep from Yuri. You have Yuri. You have Yuri. You have Glover. And outside of the two of them, let's just be honest here. We're in the trust tree. Light heavyweight sucks. It sucks right now. It's like this thing where people think because they're good or they're big that they're better than they are, like that, or that the division is good and it's exciting. Bro, what? Just give me the last light heavyweight war that you remember.
Reyes Jones.
When was that? 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that you have to go 4 years, your kids weren't even alive the last time light heavyweight put on a good fight.
Well, Reyes Yuri was pretty good too.
For a round, yes. For a round, yes. You're absolutely right. I will give you that. It was good for a round.
Glover Smith was pretty good with teeth falling out.
So Glover just beating Anthony Smith like he owed him money for 21 minutes was good.
It's entertaining. It's cringeworthy.
I guess.
Watching a Michael Scott thing, dude. It's like, I don't really like to watch it, but I have to watch it.
Dude, Scott's tots makes me more uncomfortable than probably anything on earth.
That is the biggest anxiety moment of my entire life right there.
Is it weird now that I feel like cringe stuff affects me more than like, say, scary movies? Like I'm more inclined to watch a scary movie than I am watching something that's like brutally uncomfortable.
I would rather watch a sex scene next to my parents.
Oh yeah.
Than watch like a Michael Scott thing, or who's that guy that's in? He just won like Sexiest Man Alive, and he's like just an average Joe dude. God, what's his name?
You know,
it'll come to me. It'll come to me. You said I look like him. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me?
I said you look like the sexiest man alive.
Yeah, yeah. But it wasn't like a sexy thing. Because if it was like a Brad Pitt thing, I would have been like, wow.
Oh, Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
You're like a golden retriever Paul Rudd. Yeah, yes. For sure.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He plays the cringe role.
You're like wish.com Paul Rudd. 100%. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100% less Jewish than Paul Rudd too. All right, here we go. We've got the fight card. This is at the Apex, right?
I don't know. Last time I said it was, and it was in Jacksonville. God.
Damn it. Let's kick things off, buddy. First fight of the main card, Frank Camacho at 22-9, taking on Manuel Torres at 12-2.
Dale, what? He's cursed, bro.
I know. Plus 103 on Frank Camacho. Manuel Torres minus 123. Now, here's where we run into an issue. Okay. This is where the problem comes in, is that Frank Camacho was released from his curse by Drew Dober. But we don't know if it works that way, because the moment that Drew released him from the curse, Frank was in a car wreck and hasn't fought since. So there's something to that. Flip side of that, he's fighting a guy off Dana White Contender Series, which Dana White Contender Series guys are the ultimate fade right now.
Yes.
So if we fade Dana White Contender Series and take the plus money, we're doing so by taking the cursed Frank Camacho.
Right.
We have to figure out how to break the curse, or if the curse can be broken. Because we know that it was broken whenever Emily Whitmire and Hannah Goldie fought each other. Goldie broke the curse.
Yeah.
But is that the only way that a curse can break, is if two cursed people fight each other? I mean, that would essentially mean that unless we start getting middleweights and welterweights on the show, Kevin Holland's never going to win again.
I don't know. It gives me pause. It gives me hesitation, which makes me want to more gravitate towards the over 1.5 here. I say that because Frank Camacho's style, I don't think it's bad out of a hell. No, I also think that coming off injuries, that Muay Thai style, a little bit from distance, is going to give him a little bit of like hesitancy to engage. So that, with a guy that's coming out of Dana White Contender Series, that this is the bright light stage, this is it, here we go, I think there's going to be a moment of feeling out process. So the over 1.5 to me seems pretty juicy here.
I think it's under, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I really go under, because I understand your point, right? That Frank's not necessarily a bat out of hell, but in 12 wins by Mr. Torres, 11 of which have been finishes.
Scrubs.
11. Yes, they're scrubs, but he also has 3 consecutive round one finishes. Right. And then if we know Frank, to be honest with you, fight IQ, not the greatest, right? Yeah. Loves the bite down on the mouthpiece and swing. You know, lost to Justin Jaynes, round one knockout. Lost to your boy Beneil Dariush, round Fair. One choke.
Makes sense though.
Yeah. Lost to Jeff Neal, head kick, first part of round two.
Great competition though.
It is great. It is great competition, but I think under 1.5.
I just, dude, the car, this sounds super casual, dude, but the car crash thing and the layoff just gives me pause, dude.
Well, what do you want it to do? What do you think he's going to be slow?
I do. I think he's not going to, I think he's going to feel out. I think this is going to be an ode to like a Rose Carla moment. It's going to be, the first round is going to be very uneventful. Then they're going to kick it into second gear. Then we're going to go Vin Diesel third gear. Then someone's going to die. Paul Walker.
Somebody's going to Paul Walker. I don't know, buddy. How about fight doesn't start round three at minus 140?
That is delicious.
Let's do fight doesn't start round three minus 140. That's
a hard L.
Yeah, just
lock.
I just want people to see that, just producer Jake just ripping bowls in the back. I just needed I just had to throw him in there real quick. I thought it would be bigger on the screen, but he just, for those of you who think that we're just bullshitting, just producer Jake just lighting the world on fire back there. All right.
I could have sworn I saw him, Dale, grab his orange spoon that looks like it came from Panda Express and scoop absolutely nothing into his mouth, thinking that it was like orange chicken, eating air.
I don't know.
Could have sworn I saw it.
We did skip a fight. This is going to be a 6-fight main card, so we're gonna Quentin Tarantino and go back a little bit. Jake Hadley, 8-0 undefeated, taking on Alan Nascimento at 18-6. Hadley's at a minus 220. Nascimento's at a plus 180 here, Trey. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think Nascimento is the play here. Plus money, plus 185. I think that we're getting a lot of UFC London Euro love right now. Hadley's good, but Nascimento, bro, that dude is a finishing machine. 18 wins, 14 of which have come via stoppage. Hadley, 8 career wins, 6 by stoppage. This fight does not go the distance written all over it. But I like the idea of a plus money guy. Real plus money, plus 185. Nascimento's got some dog in him. What do you think?
He does, dude. He's got an aggressive style. Plus, he's no slouch on the ground. He's got a good front guillotine. He's a guy that can like explode forward and find a neck. I like this guy. I think Doggett will fight for your money for sure. And at plus 185, it's juicy beyond belief.
Good. I'm glad you brought up guillotine because we've had a listener reach out to us for 2 weeks now asking us to address two questions in the show. And
yeah.
I just forgot. Last week I was by myself, so I forgot. And you're here now and you said it. He wants to know why you don't consider a guillotine a choke.
Right. Right.
So do you want to answer that?
It's a choke. Mm-hmm. I just think it's when people say like, oh, dude, he's like a fan. He's got this fucking amazing guillotine choke. It's like, dude, any wrestler, depending on if a guy shoots in and doesn't put his head on the right hip, can get guillotine. Guillotines are not like technical. Guillotines are wrestling and just, you know, right here, dude. I think it's more of a wrestling thing. God, this is going to make me sound like the most fucking piece of shit black belt jiu-jitsu guy ever. But I'm just saying, I don't think that you can say like someone's like a fantastic jiu-jitsu artist if they're just doing guillotines all the time, dude.
Didn't you say Nascimento has a fantastic guillotine?
I did, and that's why I'm smiling during this because yeah, he has a good one. But I like it because he's not a jiu-jitsu guy. He's an outside. He can wrestle, dude. This guy is. I'm putting the jiu-jitsu. I know. Fuck. I'm God. What? God. Dude. I said I like his explosive style. He can wear on you. And if he can do that, there's a guillotine there that's always present, which he seems to always snatch. Jiu-jitsu aside, there you go.
Gotcha. And second, I'm just going to bring it up now because I don't know if we have an organic way to bring it up. How do you feel about soccer kicks? Are you pro soccer kick? We haven't talked about that before. Are you pro soccer kick?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I'm pro soccer kick as well. Yeah, cool. Honestly, I think everything beside like joint manipulation, eye gouges, and nut shots should be pretty much fair game. It's a fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be all for get rid of 12-6 elbows because nobody knows what those are. And just allow people to kick the shit out of each other. Like I think one of my favorite things, even though it was of zero consequence whatsoever, Cowboy kicking Miles Jury. When Miles was just laying on his back. And do you remember this when Cowboy was just cranking down? I mean, okay, we'll have to clip it. Cowboy fought Miles Jury and Miles fought like, I don't want to say he fought like a bitch, but he fought like a Rose Carla fight the whole time.
Hot.
Very end of the fight, he gets knocked down. He's just laying on his back, inviting Cowboy down. And Cowboy just proceeds to just unleash like these very hard, very like spite filled kicks into Jury's legs and butt area. And I just can't help but wonder what would have happened if soccer kicks were allowed. But the flip side of that though is if soccer kicks are allowed, I believe Jose Aldo might kill somebody.
That's true. Or Edson Barboza.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know what? Barboza's on my shit list for a while. I'm kind of Edson and I, we're taking a break.
What? Why?
We're taking a break. He's just, I don't know, man. He's not doing it for me lately.
Okay. That's fair. Right. That's fair. Hey, real quick. Didn't address it. Did you cry? Get any misty? I know you're a very emotional guy. Did you cry at all? You.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No, you're super emotional. It's fine, dude. That's actually really manly in some cultures.
Oh my gosh. You're the worst. What?
No, I just want to know if you cried when DC got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
No. Not at all. Not Why? At all. You're the fucking worst. I know I didn't cry.
What? It's okay. I just want to know why you didn't cry like a lot of people did.
Did you cry?
No, because I'm a fucking man. But I was just curious if you did.
No, I did not. No.
Okay.
No, no tears. No tears fell from my eyes when DC got involved. And first, you're the worst person. You completely took me off my game, which doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, well, ask me about a guillotine again, you fuck.
Oh, man. No, DC was a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's the UFC has become like, if you could add two letters to it, it'd be UFC DC. Like, it's he's everywhere. They literally have him doing everything. Like, his literally, both literally and figuratively, he's got his fingers in every pie. I mean, he's just, you can't turn around in the UFC without bumping into that guy. So it was a given. It was.
Well, is Felder going to get into the Hall of Fame then?
Probably not. I don't imagine. I think that at a certain point, they might consider his fight with Dan Hooker as a Hall of Fame fight. He might get in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, him versus Dan Hooker in Australia was just bananas.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the craziest fights I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And he was robbed. But yeah, I mean, it was a crazy fight. Absolutely crazy. All right. Speaking of crazy, let's get into it because I know you've been waiting with bated breath here. Caitlin Chookagian at 17-4 taking on Amanda Ribas at 11-2. Chookagian at a -180, Ribas at a +155.
All right, can we put this to bed? Every time that Caitlin Chookagian comes up, we say, well, man, we don't know if we're going to take her because she's always one foot in, one foot out. She talks about wanting to start a family.
No, she's not going to start a family. She's addressed this already. She said she's not going anywhere. She can be around for a long time. So she's essentially put the ovaries on the back burner. She's frozen the eggs. She's going to rock and roll. She's going to try to win a title, which, hell, at this point, who's to say that she can't, right? I mean, Carla just won without landing a punch, so anything's possible. Caitlin Chookagian wins fights without punching people all the time.
Yeah.
So this can happen, right?
Yeah.
So we can put that narrative about Caitlin to bed here. But women's science, I mean, women's science has Amanda Ribas at +150. And because of that, we're getting Caitlin at a -175, which Caitlin Chookagian by decision is like just the most free money bet that's ever existed in all of free money bets.
Preach.
But in doing so, we have to directly contradict science. Is this a Trojan horse? Is this a Trojan horse?
Oh man. Dude, we have been fading women's science for some time and it's been biting us in the ass.
Why are we doing that?
I don't know. And this one is so unique to fade because you know, you have the jiu-jitsu of Amanda Ribas, but you have the point striking and the length and the reach and the movement around the cage. Granted, we're in the apex, but Caitlin is just, by decision, is like peanut butter and jelly. It just goes together.
It's +130.
Oh, it's plus money. So technically, it's women's science.
We're going to put a poll up for that.
If the
people come back and say Caitlin Chookagian at +120 for a by decision play equals women's science,
yeah,
then we'll play it.
Okay, I'm still gonna play it though.
I probably should.
Yeah,
we should probably. This is what we should probably do. We should probably play. We'll just do unit math real quick. We should probably do like a half a unit play on Ribas money line. What?
We should just juice it, dude, by a sub. She's not going to knock Caitlin out.
What?
Ribas is going to knock someone out? She gets knocked out fucking standing.
Most people get knocked out standing because you're throwing punches while standing up. What is that? He goes to sleep in a bed. Yeah, most people do.
That's ground and pound.
Yeah, there is ground and pound. I don't see that happening. And I don't see Ribas submitting her either. Caitlin won't get close enough to her. She's not going to get close enough.
Keith in the chat, dude, throwing down some fucking fight words right now. Dale is the Dr. Fauci of women's science.
That I don't even know what that means.
Keith, heat, hot, depend, hot, hot.
I'm gonna assume, Keith, that as much as you've listened to our show, you know how I feel about certain people. So I'm gonna go ahead and assume that you intended that as an insult.
And I'm gonna assume we're fighting right now.
I'm gonna assume that you meant that in an insulting fashion, Keith. And so yeah, I want to take Hebus. Let's just fuck it. I'll take her. I'll let pressure me into it.
You'll take Hebus money line. I'll take Caitlin by decision at plus money.
Sure, why not?
That sounds fair.
Real quick, I don't know that Hebus has won a fight since she got her boyfriend. Remember for a while, like pre Fight Island knockout, Hebus was like, people were like, oh, Amanda Hebus.
Yeah.
And she was on Instagram and Twitter. She had the cakes out. It was like a bakery. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah. So yeah.
She's got cakes out everywhere. And then she got a boyfriend. She stopped posting on everything.
Well, it was the transition, dude. And it was the Paige Van Zandt to everyone's jumping on the Hebus. Mm-hmm. And now she's got a boyfriend.
The Hebus. Well, that's good. That's
all aboard the Hebus, dude. I can't take that though. I never.
Oh, somebody else said that?
Yeah, it was. Who was the old school capper on the Anakin Florian podcast? The guy that went to.
Ian Parker.
Ian Parker, dude. That's his thing.
Ian Parker said that.
Yeah, and he does all aboard witty. The Hebus. Honk honk. It was fantastic.
That's incredibly witty for Ian.
No, dude, that's good. The guy's he's a good dude.
I'm not saying he's not a good dude. I've talked to Ian quite a bit. I enjoy his content quite a bit. That's very good wordplay. I don't know.
It's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah. All right.
It's a good one.
Where'd we land on this? You're taking Chukagian by decision, and we're gonna small sprinkle Hebus money line for women's science purposes. Got it.
Yes.
Cool. All right, next fight. Davy Grant, Lewis Smolka. Smolka at 17-8. Davy Grant 13-6, minus 300 for Davy Grant, plus 240 on Lewis Smolka. I don't want to live in a world, Trey, where Davy Grant is a minus 300 against anybody.
Where are these Europeans getting so much freaking love, dude?
I honestly think it's because everybody, like Davy Grant, had a little moment in the sun where nobody could see that wild left hand coming, and he just started stinging people with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Smolka is there to be stung.
Well, yeah, but Smolka's also got length and reach, dude, and he never engages really.
Who just fucking snuffed him from existence not too long ago? Who was that?
You're into this word snuff tonight.
I know. I've said it like four times. I'm not going to say it again. You're right.
I don't really know what it means.
Oh, like, man. You know what it was? Here's where this is coming from. The genesis of why I keep saying snuff is that Barstool put up a thing about like
Marty Mush.
No, I don't know who that is. About the top Nicolas Cage movies. They did like a Nicolas Cage draft.
Sick.
And nobody put up 8mm.
No idea what that is.
Right. So 8mm is a movie with Nicolas Cage where he is a private investigator that is tasked with tracking down a person or the origin of a snuff movie that was found in somebody's like house, or it's been a couple of years since I've seen it. But a snuff movie. Are you familiar with what a snuff movie is?
Yes.
Are you? You said you know, I just want to make
No, sure. I am. Yeah. It's
okay.
Yeah, I got it.
No, you were going to say go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I'm pretty sure I understand what that is.
It's okay if you don't. I'm just asking, like, do you know what, like, I'm not trying. This isn't an attempt to poke you.
That's the sex with the death thing.
It can be. Yeah. It's basically somebody getting killed on film or something like super dark, torturous, illegal. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in the okay. Yeah. You got it. Listen, sometimes I am messing with you, but this is not that. I was just making sure.
Okay.
We're on the same page.
So this was your favorite movie of all time.
It's not my favorite movie of all time, but I was pissed that they didn't do this, because the problem is Nicolas Cage is a movie that just came out. that everybody's very excited about. And now everybody's acting like they're Nicolas Cage fans. And I don't like that whenever it's like trendy to like people. You either like them or you don't. Like if you're not, if you're not with me for my Raising Arizona, you don't deserve me at my Mandy or my Pig. Like that's it. So it just makes me upset. You've never seen Raising Arizona?
No, the only movie I can like wholeheartedly remember, which was a fantastic movie, was Con Air. Greatest movie of all time, probably.
I will vouch for this. You have called Con Air the greatest movie of all time several times.
It's true. Drop the bunny.
Yeah. You have said that. It's crazy. You have said that multiple times. You're a big Paul Walker guy, and Con Air is your who was the bad guy in Con Air? Was it Billy Bob Thornton? John Malkovich. No,
dude. John Malkovich, yeah. John
Malkovich, yeah.
You know what's interesting? Nicolas Cage went away very like quickly, much like Brendan Fraser. What happened to that dude?
Brendan Fraser, I think he got into the alcohol a little bit.
Got into the booze. Cutwaters.
Got into some Cutwaters, yep.
Made himself a mummy.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser was it for a while, bro. That dude was it for a while. A lot of money. I think things with Nick Cage started to go wrong when he married Elvis's daughter, bought an illegal Tyrannosaurus Rex fossil for like $200 million, and then bought a bunch of islands and had them all repossessed from him, which I don't know how you repossess an island. I don't know.
Is Elvis's daughter Asian?
She's not. No.
I felt like he was into the whole Asian thing for a minute.
He might have been.
He married a bunch of them. Not a bunch of them. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I understand. It's okay. You'll be okay. I don't know if Elvis was into Asian chicks or not.
No, I didn't mean Elvis. I said Nick Cage was.
Oh, you're saying Nicolas Cage was into Asian chicks.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you asked if Elvis's daughter was Asian.
Because you said he married Elvis's daughter.
He did, Lisa Marie Presley.
Oh, that's the daughter.
That's the daughter, yeah, who is not Asian.
Okay.
She looks like Elvis. She might be Elvis. That's a conspiracy theory. Maybe Elvis just got a sex change.
Interesting.
It's possible. They cut the wiener in half, and then they fold it back in, and they press it up.
And well, it becomes easy to do in 2022. So
For sure. All right. So we didn't talk about Davy Grant versus Lewis Smolka at all here. the fight wasn't mentioned at all. Here's the thing, buddy. Davy Grant minus 300 range is yikes. I don't think Lewis Smolka at plus 260 holds a lot of value either, because I think Davy Grant probably knocks Lewis Smolka out. 2.5 is interesting considering Smolka's coming off a loss. He got knocked out very quickly in round one by Vince Morales, lost in round one to Casey Kenney prior to that, and then lost in round one to trial choke Matt Schnell. So Lewis Smolka, if he's losing, it's a round one kind of deal, right?
Right.
If he's winning, his last two wins have come in the first and the second round. I think under 2.5 is the play here. That's under 2.5. I think Davy Grant's path to victory is knockout. If Lewis Smolka wins or loses in his last six fights, it has come in the first round. So first or second round. So under 2.5, I think, is the play.
I like that. I feel like we're doing really safe plays. I'm really confident in what we've done thus far.
Well, you know, I just do what I can, man. We got away from the idea of trying to make people money. We just leaned into our degenerate gambler side, and that's not smart. So minus 155 on the under 2.5.
That's good. I like it.
Let's fuck around and just get a perfect card this time.
Let's do it.
Hey, all guys, just real quick, this is going to be a perfect card. Just throwing this one out. Even though we just already said we were going to play both sides of the Caitlin Chukagi and Amanda Hebus fight, we're going to go perfect this card. let's see here. Jake says he has a ton of Elvis memorabilia, so it's kind of weird. Yeah. He also named his son after Superman, which was very, I don't know. That's kind of my goal. I want to have so much money that I can name my future kids after whatever I want.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's like Gwen Stefani's kid's name's Apple or some shit. That's cool.
That's Gwyneth Paltrow.
same difference.
Both Gwens, you're right. Yeah. Gwyneth is a fancy Gwen.
Yeah.
You live in California. Do you see a lot of celebrities?
Occasionally.
Who's the most famous person you've ever met? And say the guy that killed Bin Laden, because Bin Laden's still alive. So don't say him. Who's the most famous person you met?
This one's really good for you, actually. The gym that I went to in college was off campus because I wanted to like train in solitude. You know, I didn't want to show the ladies the buys and tries.
Right. What steroids were you on then?
Tren X50. Okay. Some Decadurbo, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Sprinkled that in.
Yeah. On the top. Okay. Go ahead.
The gym I went to was this kind of undercover one in Malibu, called Malibu Fitness. Not a very undercover name.
I say it sounds exactly like you think it would. I bet it was a gym.
Upstairs, I went right over to do work on the glamour muscles. Did some chest action, right. Some dips with the heavy, but with the chain, you know, like the rock status. So it makes it look like you're working way harder. Like I was doing dips with chains, you know? And I look over my...
I don't believe this fucking story. You were doing dips with chains?
Yeah. I mean, they weren't heavy chains. They were like plastic, but whatever. Okay.
All right.
I'm doing dips and looking over my massive triceps, dude. And guess who I see to my left?
Male or female?
Male.
Okay. And I'm going to really like this. All right. Jason Statham.
No.
Damn it.
Close? Always has his shirt off.
Zac Efron.
Close, but no.
Oh, gosh. Pete Davidson.
No.
Damn it.
Great body, very tan.
Great body, very tan.
Yeah.
Idris Elba.
All right.
Yeah?
Boom. Matthew McConaughey to my left. Then look over my other massive tricep to my right. Guess who's working out on the other side of me?
Oh my gosh. All right. Not any of the two people I said already.
No.
Okay. Woody Harrelson.
No. Good.
Owen Wilson.
Nope. Think 007 wears a suit very well.
Pierce Brosnan
to my right. Then, dude, I decide, my neck needs to be worked out. And I hear this song behind me, and this chick is just twirling from the ceiling. And I'm like, who is this chick with very short hair who's a fantastic pop singer whose name is a fucking color?
Wait a second. Hold on a second. So you went to a place called Malibu Fitness that's supposedly an undercover gym.
Yes.
And you went upstairs and were doing dips with a chain on.
Yeah.
And to your right was Pierce Brosnan.
Yep.
And to your left was Matthew McConaughey.
Yep.
And behind you, suspended from the ceiling like a Cirque du Soleil performer.
Yes.
Was Pink?
Yes. Helping with the ropes was Carrie Price, or no, what's his name?
Carrie Hart
helping with the
what thing. Exercise is done like that where you're suspended from a ceiling? What
it's like a yoga thing, I think.
This sounds like a fever dream. Were you on mushrooms?
No, I was there. I was there.
Yeah, but like, was your third eye open? Were you like...
My third eye was doing something.
Oh, nice. Okay. I don't know why, but I feel like Pink smells bad. She looks like a chick that doesn't believe in deodorant. Like she just enjoys her natural musk.
Yeah, like Katy Perry.
Yeah. Yeah. Katy Perry probably smells like sulfur.
Or children's blood.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I was getting at. They say demons smell like chemical. So I imagine that Katy Perry pennies. Smells very chemical. Like hot pennies. Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, bro, speaking of pennies, hold on. Check this out. What I got the other day. I'm excited.
Bag of coins going to Coinstar later?
Yep, 100%, bro. Check these things out. Got a bunch of these freaking things, bro. Got a whole roll. Like
coins are still not part of the U.S. currency or something.
Coins are extremely hard to find right now, and whenever the financial systems collapse, you're going to want coins, so I would suggest getting some. But I got some of these brand new bad boys. Look how fucking shiny and new these things are. The only problem is they've got this like weird thing on the back.
How old are you?
Huh?
How old are you?
How old am I? I'm 36.
You sound like you're 66.
I'm not collecting them. This is so I can look, man. You can talk all you want. You want to talk all you want, but that crazy Joker-looking skin-walking lizard went out there today talking about, oh, we're going to combat inflation. It's the number one thing that we're worried about. The CPI numbers come out tomorrow, Trey. I would be shocked if it's under 9%. You and I both know when you go to the grocery store, everything is at least 15 to 20% more expensive, and they're lying and try to tell you that the CPI numbers are only 7%. Get the fuck out of here. It is at least... at least 12 to 15, and they're going to come out tomorrow and say it's like 9.3. Watch. I'm telling you.
All right.
Yeah. You know what's interesting today? Is my man was like, oh, there's 200 million tons of wheat and oat in Ukraine that we can't get out. Bro, Nancy Pelosi traveled through time, that little fucking vampire, and went over there and was somehow able to walk around downtown Kyiv with Zelensky. Nancy Pelosi just flew in to a war zone because, you know, I don't know, third in command of countries fly into war zones all the time. War zones. She flew in, flew out. U2 and Bono are there playing guitar for people out in fucking state in their version of Station Square. They're just they're jamming out, having a good old time. But yet we can't get 200 million tons of wheat out of there. You know why he said that? Because they're going to say that those 200 million tons of wheat were destroyed by Putin, as he calls them, were destroyed by him. And that's why we won't have any wheat or oats this upcoming fall. It has no. Yeah. Oh, it's Putin's fault. No. Mm-mm, bro. They're trying to starve you out.
Sounds like I should get some Irish steel cut oatmeal versus coins.
Yes. Jake says, what do coins have to do with this? Coins have to do with the fact that ultimately what you physically can touch will be what you own. So the same reason why I hate downloading digital music, because if something were to happen to the device, or if somebody were to hack my account, I don't have music anymore. So I don't download movies. I still buy DVDs because I want to physically own the thing that I have. I want to physically have it, so you can't take it from me. Coins are that. I'm fucking laughing at you all you want.
I just feel like I have this picture of you in a bunker with a bunch of coins and CDs around you, just holding up for dear life. Like, they're fucking coming.
Hey, man, I don't care if they are or not. It doesn't matter.
You're coming.
But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Fuck you. Here's the thing. Shit hits the fan, right? What am I gonna if you and I don't have internet, how can I give you Bitcoin to pay for something?
Oh, I don't even understand Bitcoin. I would never buy it. Yeah.
But you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, that's like, retarded.
Or if you don't have money in the bank, like, you know, you don't have money in the bank. You have the promise of your money. Like, you don't have, you couldn't like physically go to the bank. Like, if everybody went to the bank and tried to pull their money out, they couldn't do it. It's the promise of money, right? Your money isn't physically there. So if the bank shuts down, where's your money go?
Back to the pocket, dude.
If you can't physically touch it, it's not yours. I'm just saying. I'm just old timey. I don't care. Say I'm an old man. I'll sit in my bunker with all my silver and all my gold, if I had silver and gold, which I don't. And
all right. So you're putting all your bag of pennies on Davy Grant under 2.5.
I'm just that fight to end under 2.5.
Okay. There you go. Okay.
You know, what did I text you? What did I text you today or yesterday?
I don't know. It was, Michael Jackson's not dead.
Michael Jackson's not dead. Yep. But also, it's Iwan Kutalaba fight week, baby.
Oh, dude.
I love me some Iwan Kutalaba fight week. The only thing that's more exciting than the Iwan Kutalaba fight week is a Cub Swanson fight week.
Very different.
Iwan Kutalaba is the genesis of Caucus Mountain Warrior. Like, this is homage to the OG when we talk about Caucus Mountain Warrior, Ion Kutalaba. He's here. Yes. Minus 210 against Ryan Spann, plus 180, over under rounds of 1.5. We're taking him, right? I mean, it's Caucus Mountains all day.
100%. Inside the distance, though.
Yeah. Really? You don't want to do decision?
I kind of want to do Ion Kutalaba KO sub. prop.
Let me look it up. I wasn't aware that we were gonna go that way. I thought that you were gonna lean into the Ewan wrestle heavy approach.
I do love the Ewan wrestle heavy approach. But Ryan Spann Superman sucks.
Yeah, he's not great, huh?
He's not good.
Yeah.
He's not good.
Let's see here. I'm looking up. I'm sorry. I'm trying to find.
Normally I would like to go Kutalaba by the wrestle heavy style and play the over. But as we've seen in his past couple of fights, dude, he fights like a fucking Justin Gaethje, like a drunk bar fighter recently. It's like
who?
Ion Kutalaba, dude.
No, his last fight. Well, you called it perfectly. I said you were dumb, but you called it, like, you nailed it.
Help me. I know where he just elongated the fight, but prior
to that, Devin Clark fight, he out wrestled Devin Clark.
The two fights prior to that, though, he fought like a crazy man. That's why I was like, dude, he needs to like to save his job because he was on a like what three fight lose skid before that fight.
Lost before three out of four. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, he's got a pink slip on his locker. If he loses this thing, he needs to play it safe. This time, co-main event slot, he's gonna come in, feel the bright lights. He's going in for blood. The Hulk's going out for kill, dude.
Okay. All right, I don't have a TKO sub prop yet, but I've got a Kutalaba inside the distance at minus 165. Brings it down a little bit. We can try that. You want to do that?
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kutalaba inside the distance, minus 165.
Yep.
My concern with this fight, I'm just going to say this, is this feels like some dumbass fight that Ryan Spann's going to win and somehow keep his job. When realistically he has, like at this point, very little reason to still be on the roster outside of the fact that light heavyweight division sucks. You know, I feel like he should be probably on his way out, but this feels like a fight for some stupid reason that he would win. And there's no analytics behind it. There's no stats behind it. I want Ewan Kutalaba to win, and I think 9 times out of 10 he's a better fighter. This just feels like some stupid thing. This just feels like some dumb thing where Ryan Spann's going to catch him and knock him out, and I hate it, and I hope that's not the case.
I don't think so.
Okay. Excellent.
No.
Okay, Kutalaba TKO.
Yeah.
Minus 260 or minus 165.
I cool. Like it.
All right. Main event of the evening. Jan Blachowicz taking on Alexander Rakic. Buddy, I'm torn here because you have Jan, who we know and love, 28-9, taking on Rakic, 14-2, who's a killer. Rakic at a minus 190. Blachowicz plus 165. Over on rounds at 4.5. I mean, you're talking about a guy who was the light heavyweight champ once removed from his belt, and he's a pretty sizable dog here, a decent sized dog against Alexander Rakic.
I feel like Jan plods too much, he has in his past couple fights. When you look at Rakic, one thing everyone loves is his footwork. Those long kicks that he can kind of get going. He's got a good, well rounded game. He's strong. He's durable. He can take a punch. I think his cardio is fantastic. Not to say Jan's doesn't have great cardio himself, but I just think that you have someone that's going to be a little bit lighter on his feet. He's going to be able to actually out-volume Jan, I think, to a certain degree. I think the volume is going to be there. I just see a little bit of Jan had his moment in the sun. Rocket, much like a Yuri and stuff like that, are on their way up. This is kind of his moment to put himself into a really, really big, contention spot.
I want to give you a little tidbit. What is one thing that every fighter in the main and the co-main have in common besides being light heavyweights?
I have no idea.
They all have wins over Devin Clark.
Doesn't tell me much though.
No, it doesn't, but I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting that all of these guys that Devin Clark has lost to all these guys. So I didn't have a point attached to that. I just thought it was interesting. I agree with you. I think Jan is plotty. The footwork is not great and the legs are small compared to the upper body. I feel like Rakic is going to target them early and often. That's his path to slowing Jan down and getting rid of the quote unquote legendary Polish power. I love Jan quite a bit, and I think that not enough attention is played to the run that he had prior to becoming champ. If you look at who he beat on his way there, right? Like just a quick little run through of the wins, getting him to the championship status: Devin Clark, Jared Cannonier, Jimmy Manawa, Nikita Krylov, Luke Rockhold, Jacare, Corey Anderson, Dom Reyes, and Izzy. So
ain't no joke.
That's a murderer's row. And he came through with flying colors and then obviously lost to Glover. But, you know, Glover's, while in his twilight, still looking pretty prime right now. So it's very interesting, man. Very interesting. I think that I feel like this is accurate. I'm going to go under 4.5.
I was going to say, is that right? Producer Jake, is that right? Under 4.5? That seems so high.
It does, but it also the last like six, well, not six. That's a lot. Like the last four light heavyweight main events have gone the distance.
Mm.
So,
I love under 4.5. That's fantastic.
Okay,
dude. Apex Cage, those two behemoths charging like fucking rams at each other. I love it.
I think the leg kicks are going to be real.
Those are going to hurt.
They're going to be so real. Like Rocket Fire. Golly, man. The Rocket is real. That's a great name, too. Great. Great name. Yeah. All right. Let's do some prelims.
Let's do it.
All right, man. Did they rebook Cowboy and Lozon for this event?
I saw that, dude.
Did they?
Did I see that? I don't know.
Is it on here?
I saw that. No, there's no way they did that. You know why?
Why?
Because Cowboy needed a crowd, dude. Last two fights, he needs a crowd.
No, he said he's got one more fight after this one. After he loses this one, he's going to fight one more time.
Yeah, that's what I said. He's got two more fights, and he wants to be in front of a fanfare, wants to do it for young Daxon.
So it's not on this one?
I don't know. I saw a notification come on my phone, and then I just didn't see it.
All right. Well, let's pretend it's not.
Cool.
Nick Maximov, 8-0. Andre Petrosky, 7-1.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Why are we going to just keep talking about this Nick Maximum just because he's friends with Nick and Nate?
Minus 410 against Andre Petrosky. Minus 410. I don't understand that at all. Jake got him at a better line. Minus 375. Petrosky coming back at a plus 310. Austin says they did it for 275. Thank you for the Cowboy. Yeah, Lozon thing. So. Thanks. I'll put that on the bam. Nick Maximov's pretty good, buddy. I mean, good cardio, good wrestling. Everybody's going to talk about how he's like Diaz camp, which you should love.
209.
You love sucking off the Diaz bros.
Double handies. Blah, 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 blah.
You always take it too far. Nick Maximov, do we like him at minus 375? I feel like I've seen quite a few people this last week on the Petrosky train here. Do you feel that way? Great beard on Petrosky, by the way.
Great beard. Great beard. Wrestling. Nick Maximov is going to have the better wrestling. Yeah, you're right. Not very good cardio. Nick's probably going to win this fight, but I'm never laying minus 375 on someone that's fairly untested. I do like inside the distance for this fight, though.
Let me ask you a question. How does Nick Maximov go from co-main event to curtain jerker on a very weak card, by the way? Super weak card. How does that happen?
Good question. Well, it's probably because Nate's fuming right now with Dana. And he's like, fuck you. I'm gonna bump your boy down a little bit until you come to terms, son.
I feel like I've seen a lot of Petrosky by KO, TKO this week as well.
Dude, if you're going to do that, just play a money line.
Just play a money line?
No, seriously. Like, what? No, I mean.
Dude.
Nick's going to slow this fight down.
I don't know. Bet 365 has Petrosky inside the distance at plus 1,000.
It's ridiculous.
Plus 1,000. 10 to 1 on your money. What do you think?
No.
No?
No.
Just Petrosky money line?
Yep. We're not doing that. We're doing Maximov money line.
You think Maximov money line's play?
It has to be.
Okay. If he doesn't get knocked out, I think he wins. I mean, that's Petrosky got one path to victory. It's like over wrestling, strength, bull, yeah. Silverback, hammer fist. That's really it.
That's really all Nick has, though.
I think he's got that smother wrestle, like that, not do a whole lot with it, smother wrestle.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's like a Bilal Muhammad of sorts.
Oof, God, this is going to be a fantastically fun fight to watch.
Nothing says fun and excitement like Bilal Muhammad. Golly. Yeah. Sunday. From the hills of Palestine to the mean streets of Chicago.
What the fuck, dude?
You'll remember the name Bully B. Be there or be square. What is it? $29.99. Buy $29.99 will get you your seat, but you'll only need the edge.
That's retarded, dude.
Oh man. That's how I feel about Bilal Muhammad, man.
All right, we gotta rip through these prelims. I hear screams, dude.
Fireworks, explosions. Bilal Muhammad. All right. Carlos Candelario, Tatsuro Taira. They just rebooked it. We already talked about it. Go back two episodes. We already talked about this one.
Take Tyra.
Yeah. Verna Jandiroba and Angela Hill. Angela Hill's 13-11. That's a real record. Verna Jandiroba is 17-3. You can't sneak up on Verna. Fun fact. Verna she's got eyes like a dragonfly, bro. You can't sneak up on her.
Yeah. You
cannot.
No.
You cannot. Those things are on the side of her head.
Is it real?
Is Verna real? Yes, she's very real.
No. Is her eye real?
Oh, that's a great question. Bisping fought with a fake eye. I think Verna's is real, though.
Man, it's so off like center.
It's very lazy. It's insane. Very lazy. Yeah. Yeah.
And plus, it kind of pops out like the Taco Bell dog. It's super weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's out. It's almost like she has Graves' disease a little bit, and it's lazy. It's very strange. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's going to murder Angela Hill, right?
No, she's not. Angela Hill's going to win this fight. What are you talking about? Angela Hill plus 250? Oh, bro. Angie Hill is – you have to bet her every time. She will either win or she will lose by split decision. Angela Hill.
No. Women's seeds. What does Angela Hill suck at?
Everything. But she's gonna win this fight, plus 150.
She has no ground game. Verna is a freaking BJJ world champ. She knows how to use it when she wants to. She can, in fact, throw. Someone's going to fall down. Angela Hill does not have the best takedown defense on the fucking planet. Verna Jandiroba, minus 175 is too rich for you. Throw a sub prop on there, dude. Angela Hill's going night-night.
You are absolutely high. Like, I thought you were high before, but you're definitely high now. There is no way on the planet Earth that Verna Jandiroba is choking out Angela Hill. What are you talking about?
Perfect. I'm so happy you said that, because then we're going to do that SpongeBob thing where it says a few moments later.
I just want the record to show that when I did that to you, that one time, you were big mad about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's something for the listeners. It's not very often that Trey gets mad at me. But there are a few occasions where I can tell that he's agitated with me. Whenever Jason Witt got knocked out, after you said Jason Witt has a great chin, Semmelsberger knocked him out in the first 40 seconds of that. And then I clipped that with the SpongeBob a few moments later and posted it. You didn't text me for the rest of the night. You were mad.
That's unfair, though. This is a new rebirth of Semi the Jetty, dude. This is, like, so different. That was the start of his run, so not fair.
You were mad.
Not fair. not fair. All right, you're on Angela Hill on Janaroba by sub.
Why are you fading? Listen, I'm talking you off the ledge.
I hate Angela Hill.
I know I do you not do, think it's she's women's good. Science. It's women's science.
She doesn't count. She overuses she overuses the spell, dude. She fights as much as Cowboy used to. Hmm. No, we don't. No, in doses.
This is Angela Hill with a full training camp.
Doesn't matter.
Wow, I can't believe you're fading women's science like this. All right, I don't really know what to do with that. Michael Johnson taking on Alon Patrick. Patrick at 15-3. Michael Johnson at 20-17. Again, a real record for a guy that fights in the UFC. But MJ's a favorite here, -150. Alon Patrick +130 over and around 2.5. We got to go MJ, right?
Dude, we've always said the one fighter in the UFC who has fought everyone and fought the best, Michael Johnson. So against Aline, you don't call it Alan. You call it
Alon.
Alon?
Alon Patrick.
Alon, dude. Fighting Alon Patrick. Give me a break. I actually would take it as quickly as possible, right? Because it's just only get it worse for Michael Johnson as it gets closer to the fight. That's what I would think.
I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
-150 seems like a steal.
Dude, every time he fights, we have to read the list. Do you want to read the list?
Yeah, just do it. It's so gnarly.
Tony Ferguson, Danny Castillo, Miles Jury, Reza Madotti, Joe Lozon, Gleison Tibau, Melvin Gillard, Edson Barboza, Beneil, Nate Diaz, Dustin Poirier, Khabib, Gaethje, Elkins, Feely, Lobov, Emmett, Stevie Ray, Thiago Moises, and Clay Guida. Dude.
How's that guy standing?
It's just the 145 and 155 murderers.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Disgusting.
Now, he's lost four in a row, so it's not like he's...
Right.
But when it's all said and done, people forget that Michael Johnson slept Poirier and beat Barboza. But let me just say this. When it's all said and done, I wonder, because Michael Johnson's one of the few guys that you hear about, always one of those guys that you hear about being a killer in the gym, right?
Right.
And not being afraid of anybody. And there's tons of footage out there of him sparring with everybody, like from light heavyweights down to like Kamaru Usman. Like he'll spar with everybody. I just wonder if a guy like Michael Johnson, when the book closes on that career, if people or if he will wonder if he left some of the best parts of himself in the gym, getting in wars in the gym. And sparring with guys that he shouldn't have been sparring with, and just taking some miles off the tires.
That's a fair call out.
I just wonder. I mean, and again, I don't know Michael. That may not be fair to say, but how he competes is well known, and what kind of teammate he is also well known. And I just wonder if that's when it's all said and done, if that's something that he'll wonder about. He was winning the Josh Emmett fight up until that last second knockout. Like he was winning that fight, was going to win. And then the loss to Stevie Ray was a majority decision, you know? And then, I mean, Thiago Moises, ankle lock, what are you going to do with that? So, I mean, you can't tough your way out of that. He's going to snap your shit. So you got to tap. We're on MJ though, -150.
Easy. Yep.
All right. Your favorite female fighter of all time, bro. Here we go. The featured prelim. Andrea Lee, 13-5, taking on Vivian Arajal at 10-3. Arajal, -110. Andrea Lee, -110. It's a pick'em.
I know.
So you can't even go women's science here. We just got to go Andrea Lee, right?
This is so tough because if Vivian Arajal was at plus money, I would say women's science all day long.
Mm-hmm.
KGB Lee has not been the same as of recently that she was 2 years ago, dude.
You think so?
She does not have the output. She doesn't have the volume and the cadence that she once had. She fights way slower, dude. Way slower. That outside jab, it used to be like a full-on like freaking pop, 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 like touch. Now it's like selectively choose. And then the problem is someone closes the distance. She's not very good on the ground. She can get ground and pounded out pretty quickly. Arajal is strong. She's durable. I think that this is a matter of someone that could close the distance on someone that's not exercising her volume. So I've been fading KGB, dude. I think I'm going to fade her again right now.
What's interesting, I'm glad you brought up the volume thing. If you look at Arizal's last two losses, she lost to Caitlin Chookagian.
Right.
All volume. But who else fights like Caitlin Chookagian? Jessica Ai, who is also the other person to beat her. So the formula to beat Arizal is there.
It's there.
It's stay on the outside and jab.
Yep.
Ones and twos, slip and get out. If Andrea can return to form, that's a viable play. But
right.
To the point that we've been making, or you've been making lately as well, or you told me, and whatever, this is how we got here. I fucking walked into a sentence and I don't know how to get out of it. You can't bet on what you think a fighter could do. You have to bet on what a fighter is most likely to do.
Yeah.
And Andrea Lee dropping the ball here. Although Andrea can sneak in takedowns, I think, and win the latter half of rounds. So just something to consider. If it's a close round, she can shoot, get takedowns. Very even fight. Pick'em's pretty accurate. Probably just going to be 100% honest with you. Unless there's a clear cut underdog by fight day, going to avoid this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or play the over.
Or play the over. Yeah. You never know. Well, Andrea stopped Cynthia Calvillo last time out.
Wow.
Remember, Calvillo's corner threw in the towel, said, "This ain't it for you, boo." We're not going to see you get beat up like this.
Yeah.
So, all right. Want to run through these real quick?
Do it.
Maximov Petrosky.
Maximov.
Tyra and Candelario.
Tyra.
Verna and Angela Hill.
Verna by sub.
Yep, that's right. Michael Johnson, Alon Patrick.
MJ.
Yep, MJ for sure. Arizal, Andrea Lee.
Arizal.
Yeah. Just for the sake of picking it. All right. Hadley and Nascimento.
Nascimento.
Yeah, for sure. Camacho and Torres.
Oh, we're playing. You like the under in this 1.5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'll just play that. Be safe.
Okay. Chookagian and Hibas.
Chookagian. By decision plus money.
Smolka and Davy Grant.
Davy Grant, but we're not playing.
Under 2.5.
There you go.
Ryan Spann, Iwan Kutalaba.
The Hulk.
The Hulk money line and the Hulk by Hulk inside the distance.
Yep.
All right. And then Jan and Rokic.
Rokic.
Rokic and under 4.5.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Guys, if you don't already do so, you can follow us everywhere at Punchless MMA. You can email us if you want to do that. Do we even check our email anymore? Do people email us?
Yeah, we have an email.
We have an email like we haven't read, or like we have an email that they can send stuff to?
Might be both.
Okay. Chat at punchlessmma.com. If you don't follow us on betmma.tips, do so, because we post our plays there along with our units. So if you want to see what we're betting on these fights, as opposed to just what we're betting, if you want to see our bets third-party tracked, go to betmma.tips and look for Punchlist MMA podcast. You'll find us there. You can see what we're doing right there. We were up, was it 5 units? 5 units last event. So
5.5.
5.5 units. We went 8-8 plus 5.5 units. So money management comes into play. And best way to support the show is by visiting the sponsors and using the codes. If you go to allegianceclothing.com, use promo code PUNCH, you can save 15%. Or if you go to Stay Classy Meats and use promo code FIST, you can save 10%. That's about it, man. Do you have anything else you want to leave the people with?
If you watch this video later, please like this video.
Oh, yeah. If
you listen to the audio, tell a friend. Share it around.
Cool. That's good. That's good. What's that little clip that everybody's using for like TikTok and Instagram and all that stuff, where it's like, man, I can't believe you're not famous. I'm not famous yet because you haven't shared my shit.
That's cute.
Share it, bro. Share it.
Sharing is caring. That's what the Care Bear said.
Just tell somebody about it. All right. I love you guys. Be good to each other. We'll see everybody next week.
Bang, bang.